So here we are. No event in the history of man has had more of an everlasting effect on mankind than that of what? The empty tomb. Where once the body of Jesus laid, the key word here is that emptiness. That empty because Jesus rose from the grave just as he had said that he would. I want you to understand that what Jesus has said he would do, he did, right? I want you to capture some of that today, that what he has told us about ourselves and with him in our lives, that will too come to pass. Do you believe that? As a child of God, the things that he has spoken to us, I believe those things will happen. I believe that I walk in that power and anointing of not of man or mankind or of Tim, but it's of that of God through that of the Holy Spirit. And it's all part of God's plan. With that of the birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus, Jesus ascending into heaven, Jesus saying that the Holy Spirit will come. There's a power in all of that, amen? A power in the birth of Jesus, a power in Jesus' life, a power in the crucifixion, a power in the tomb being empty, and the power of the Holy Spirit coming. Do you see any weakness in any of that? I'd hope not. It's all power, all authority, all things that he has given through that of Jesus Christ has been transferred into us as well, that we've shared many times in the last month or so about the power, the authority, and the things that are within us already as we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and King. My salvation. My sins were scarlet red. How about yours? Anybody have any scarlet red sins? When you came to Christ and accepted him into your heart and said, forgive me, repent, cleanse me of my sins, what was once scarlet red is now white as snow. White as snow. And so we serve a risen Savior. Amen. That's what gives us the ability for any of us to stand before, whether I stand before you, or you share with family, or friends, or people out there, that what you are sharing is truly that of the miraculous, that we serve a risen Savior. He's not in a tomb. He is not dead. He is not deceased. He's not, he was. He is. Whenever we speak of that past tense, well, Tim was a good guy. Probably would say, I'm no longer here. I was. But as we find out with that of Christ, he is today the Lord and Savior for each and every one of us. There are so many areas in how to get through this. I thought of it throughout the week and kind of just sat and looked at scriptures and read the story and thought of some other things. And I want to first start out, if nothing else, is understanding that Jesus predicted this very thing happening three times to his disciples. We find in Luke 18:31, and then it says here, then he took the 12 aside, and he says to them, behold. Now this is his third time. There are three other times that he specifically spoke about these things. Now, it's spoken throughout that of the Gospels, but if I was looking in Luke itself, okay, he spoke the first time in chapter 9, verses 21 it started, and then also the second time in chapter 9 at verse 43. Now we are into 18:31. And then he took the 12 aside, and he says to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. Those things that were written will be accomplished. You could say it will be fulfilled. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. Insulted. I think this is what took place with him. To insult, to treat arrogantly, sarcastically, injustly, to commit an outrageous against, It is abuse that runs riot, acts wantonly, shamefully, and with affront. Jesus not only received this treatment from his enemies, but he warned his followers not to be surprised when those same things will come about for you. But getting back to this is his third time of telling his disciples this is going to take place. So today what I would like to look at in the Gospels as far as reading what took place is I want to jump into Matthew. And here again, you can get a flavor throughout Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and in John as far as the different things that transpired on that resurrection day. Different outlooks and different things that were given attention to. It doesn't mean that it's all fallacy because no one supports the other. There's variations in things that they took recollection of and what they wrote about. And if you would look at it that way, it actually gives more credence to it, because if it was something that man wanted to put a thing on to make it sound like or to make it false, every narrative would pretty well be about the same, identical. They've been coached on what to say. You will find that in investigations of today when authorities investigate a situation and they investigate five or six or whatever eyewitnesses to the event. And if all, whatever, pick a number, all seven say identically the same thing, that sometimes gives the investigator, it sounds like they've worked together on this and they've coached themselves so that it all lines up exactly. And really, when that happens, it actually casts more doubt into some of those things that they're saying. So it's actually better to have, if you got five or six or seven witnesses, they all have a little different flavor of things. It's because of what they saw from their perspective and where they were at and what meant the most to who? Them. So let's, for right now today, go into Matthew 28. Matthew 28, starting in 1. Now after the Sabbath, and as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came, and he rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards, they shook for fear of him, and they became like dead men. But the angel answered, and he says to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified." In verse 6, he says, "He is not here, for he is what? Risen. As he has said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And so what did they do? They quickly ran out from the tomb with fear and great joy. And they ran to bring his disciples the word. He did what he said he was going to do. He rose. See where he laid. It is empty. And some of the Gospels, you see where they go in, they look, and the windings or the burial cloth was folded up and really in a nice area and set at the head. And you can get into understandings of things like that as far as what that would mean in the times. I've heard it said that if somebody is done at the meal, they would just take their napkin and just throw it down. But anyway, when you fold it, it's kind of like, hey, I'm coming back or something like that, you know. I'm not done. And we know that Jesus is not done. We know that God is not done with his creation here. I know some of us look at it today thinking like, I wish it would be done. But no, God is not done yet. Because Jesus will come again that second time. And then he will get the attention from everyone that particular time as well. So now we have that fulfillment of the resurrection. It is wonderful to follow that time from Jesus coming back to life and the 40 days that he went about talking to individuals and having groups of people see him prior to the ascension back into heaven. Now the days that are coming up, after he rose from the tomb and he went out. Yes, he went to his disciples and he talked to them. And then he walked about this earth for another how many days? 40. 40 days he was seen about, talking, sharing. And then he ascended. And then we find the 10 days from his ascension into the coming of the Holy Spirit, a Pentecost. 10 days, 50. So 50th is Pentecost. So 40 days out from now, he will finally ascend into his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father. And then another 10 days after that, the Spirit comes. But that's for another time. We need to look at today of just knowing what? The tomb is empty. He's risen indeed. And I pray and I hope, has he risen in your heart? Has he risen in individual hearts of you today that are here? Have you received him into your heart? Have you confessed him as Lord and Savior? Have you seen living this life of what we were and it had no satisfaction after a while to what Christ has for us to say, I want whatever it is that I can receive from my Heavenly Father. And to get it is through that of who? Jesus. Receiving him as your Lord and Savior. Now the thing that we will look at is that the salvation message comes, and it was basically to what? Reconcile us back to God the Father. So he came. And we look at it here, and we might touch upon it again, but in Romans 8:11, it says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through or because his Spirit who dwells in you. So we are told that that same Spirit that did what? Raised Jesus from the dead. He's going to raise your mortal body. Thank you, Father. So we find this, that the Holy Spirit is God's promise or his guarantee of eternal life for those who believe in him. The Spirit in us by faith, and by faith we are certain to live with Christ forever. And so that's kind of like part of the thing I was working up a little bit. And then we go to this part here of the significance of this resurrection. And we talk here, Romans 6, that those that have died in Christ, God will rise or raise to eternal life. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, we being his followers, you should never fear what? Death. We should never fear death. We should never fear calamity. We should be walking in a peace and an assurance that if and when I die at this point in time in this place, in earth, that my spirit goes and I live for eternity. Now, when he comes back, the graves will be opened. Amen? And those that have died in Christ will be raised. And those that died without Christ, they will be raised for judgment as well. And then those that are alive still will be caught up with them. Amen? So the dead first go, and then we follow. But it all points back to this, of our eternity, of our salvation, to go back and spend it forever with that of God the Father. Because God raised Jesus from death, he will also raise Christians to eternal life. In John, if you want to turn to John or make a note there, I'm going to turn to John 11:25. In John 11:25, it says this, and this is Jesus saying, Jesus says to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever, anybody here, whoever? Amen. I hope there's one or two whoever's here today, or all of us. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now here's the thing that catches you. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? If we believe it, then we have no fear over this life. We have no fear. And I'm not saying be crazy and, you know, I don't know, don't go bungee jumping with a, you know, you're jumping off of a cliff that's like 100 feet and you're using a 125-foot bungee cord. I don't think it'll help, you know. Use some wisdom, okay? But I'm saying that as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, the Spirit in us, that we should not fear the things of death because we are all here temporal. In John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now we find that in the death of Christ, but more so in the resurrection, if we turn to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 12, the title just before 12 in my Bible says, "The Risen Christ, Our Hope." So in 1 Corinthians 15, start at 12. 15, 12, 1 Corinthians. "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty." Verse 15, "Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, and if in fact the dead do not rise." Verse 16, "For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen." Verse 17, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." Verse 18, "Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they have perished as well." Fallen asleep, died. Here again. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of men the most pitiful. But we know that Christ liveth." If these were just lies and things that were taken and trying to share with the public and the people back then, that lie would have gone around the world how many times? But again, remember, I've talked about how Jesus was seen alive for 40 days after resurrection out of the tomb. There's proof, adamantly, not by just one, not by two, whatever. I think there were signs of up to a couple of hundred, 300 or so, 500 maybe, throughout his time of those 40 days that he was out and doing and sharing and speaking, and especially to the two men on the road to Emmaus, that he stopped and talked with them. "Why so downcast? What's wrong with you? Why so doom and gloom? Where have you been?" They just crucified Jesus. So because Christ rose from the dead, we can have that certainty that our sins are forgiven because he rose. And when Christ arose, we too shall rise from that of the dead. You'll find in John 5:29, if we would go there, but you can look at it there, "All people will experience the resurrection, Christians to life and non-Christians to condemnation." In Philippians 3:10, it says this, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Knowing that Christ not only means experiencing the power of the risen Lord, but also sharing in those sufferings. I'm so thankful that Jesus, the Lord, he shared the good things, and he didn't sugarcoat the other things that would come along with those things. So it's not like we have been just sold one side of what this is all gloriously going to be like. That it's all going to be, you know, wonderful, you know, times throughout your entire life. No, he's saying it will be that, but also there will be those times that those persecutions and those things will come. And we have shared throughout the times, and most of us here at one time or another, I'm sure I have as well, in your family settings especially, and some people in your family and extended family, they may look at you as kind of crazy, and I don't know if they really mock you, but I'm sure they kind of laugh, thinking like, do you really get into this stuff, huh? You really believe this stuff, huh? It's like, well, why not? It says it in his word. It said that he came. He's that way maker, that promise keeper, that light in the darkness, amen, that we all need in our lives. And we have got to get that back into our churches, that he is the light of this church, that he is the way maker of his church, that he is the promise keeper within his church, churches around this nation, around this community. Churches need to rise up, amen. Just like he rose up out of the tomb on resurrection, there's many churches. We need to rise up and proclaim a risen Savior and give people hope and confidence in things that will be better than what they have been. they'll be better than what they have been. Now, I know the enemy's got us all looking at the things of our world of today. All I want to tell you is just keep reading, because he says it's going to grow worse. It's going to grow worse, gross darkness. But we are not to give up, amen? We are to be strong. But we got to understand that what God's word says, these things are going to happen. Our prayers and things and our petitions, we want to stand in those areas and stand in that gap. But there will be a time, folks, when it finally comes, no matter how much you're praying, Lord, hold it back, hold it back, hold it back, hold it back. The Lord or God, he's going to say, it is time. And you just be ready yourself. Because I'm coming back. And there's going to be crazy, silly, stupid, scary things taking place in all of society. Not just in third world and second world countries. It's going to be in first world. We are a first world country. Things in America. But don't lose hope. And don't give up. And don't stop praying. Stand in that gap. But don't run in fear. Amen. Don't run in fear. I will never stand at this pulpit and bring fear before you. If I do, chastise me. Dan, take me out back of the woodshed. Because the gospel of Christ is not of fear. It's peace and a sound mind and strength and joy. All of these things. We have some people that claim themselves to be Christian and they bring more fear into the Christian world than they do bring hope. I sometimes find more hope out in the world than I do in the church setting sometimes, and some of the things that I hear or read or see on the world wide web. You've got this. You've got peace. You've got this. You've got direction. You've got this. You've got joy. I don't really need a whole lot of people out there on the Christian side telling me how bad it is. I know it already. I hear it. I see it. I believe it's happening. But now I'm not going to put my head in the sand. You know, and not do anything about it. I'll pray. I'll do what I can in the material and the flesh that I can. But here again, our battle is within the spiritual realm. You change the spiritual realm over this nation, and you will change this nation. We think by changing one man in the government to another man in the government to another man in the government to another lady representative to another man representative to a senator to this, we think we're going to change with all that. No, because they're human flesh. And the God of this world works through man. God of this world works through man. God of my kingdom works through man. And I'm a man and you're a woman of the kingdom that is not of this world. Amen? And we're going to be ministering and he's going to be putting stuff into us to do while we're here. While we're here. To share the gospel, to share to those out there that are lost, because when this whole thing ends, it's not going to depend and does not matter on how many toys you've got. It's not going to matter about all the big, the bling and this and that and things of this nature. What's going to matter is what is the soul of that person? Is it going to heaven or is it going to hell? That's what it all boils down to. And we've got to proclaim the good news. And the good news is he's alive. And the good news is he is risen indeed. And that I serve a risen Savior. I care not what this world may say. For I've read it in my word of the Bible and I hear it by the Spirit in my spirit that I serve a risen Savior. No matter what man tells me, no matter what the government tells me, no matter what other religious people tell me, I serve a Jesus that's alive at the right hand of God the Father. He's there to hear my prayers and my petitions to intercede for me. And he's there to intercede for you and your trials and times. But he would say, don't fear. Don't run in fear and trembling. You're a child of God. You're a child of the Most High God. The God that put this all into existence from the very spoken of the word. I think some of us think that he's turned his back on all of us. It's so far from the truth, I believe. He's paying attention to exactly what's going on because he already knows what's going to be going on. We've said it many times. You know, God doesn't wake up and go, boy, that surprised me, that coronavirus. Wow. Oh, cancer and heart attacks and all? Well, that surprised me. When we die and go to heaven, do you think he stands at the pearly gates going, wait a minute, Tim, I didn't know you were coming today. I think as Brother Doug shared a few weeks back, we can do all the preventive things, and we do that, right? We do that. But when your ticket is punched, is that what you said, Doug? You know, when that ticket is punched, you're going somewhere. Just like going to a carnival ride somewhere, or you got that little thing of so many times you can go. Here, tick, punch that ticket. Okay, you can go one time on the Ferris wheel. Okay, here, you can go this time on the roller coaster. When your ticket is punched, you know you're going. Some of the concerns that would be in all of us is this, that if we are walking in fear, what's happened within your salvation? What's happened within? Do you feel like I'm not worthy enough? Do you feel like I don't know if I'm ready? I don't know. Well, be ready. Amen. Because he says when he comes back, it's going to be like that and the thief of the night. All of a sudden, when you hear that horn, and it's like 2:39 a.m. in the morning, are you going to be able to jump up and go, wait, I got to get these things in order. I got to get my house in order. Amen. Amen, brother. God bless you, Aaron. God bless you. It's not time to start tidying up when you hear the horn. The time to tidy up is the days before that, today even, this hour, this second. You better get it right with God, not me. Not with your friends, not with your spouse, not with your brothers, not with your sisters. You get it right between you and the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're here to encourage you. We're here to show you that there's things to be happy about, and we're on the winning side. Tim, how do you mean we're on the winning side? Don't you see everything is going on in this world? Yeah. But my eyes are not set upon this world as making my completion. My eyes are set upon a heavenly place, that there is no pain, suffering, sickness, viruses, missing limbs, missing eyes. It's a perfect place. And the only way you're going to experience it is when you die and you go there. We can talk about it. We can share about it. We can expound upon the things that we've heard from people that have had, you know, near-death experiences. How is it, near-death or near-heaven experiences? I don't know. If something like that happened to me, I want to be called. I want to talk about my near-heaven experience. Death sounds so final, but it's not for a child of God. Hallelujah. But have hope. Have joy. Have the victory that has been handed. The victory has been handed to you. You serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. The Holy Spirit is around us. The Holy Spirit is in us, infusing us with the power, with the trust, with the hope, with the love, with the joy, with the peace, with the in that of Christ, there's no worry, no anxiety. No intrepidness, no, oh, in that of God, it's just like, it's a beautiful day out. It's a beautiful day, hallelujah. But we've got to understand that resurrection power that's within us. So now, the resurrection gives Christians both power and hope. Look at, did I say that in Philippians 3:10? Oh, and that at the name of Jesus, I'm going to go in 9. Therefore, God, Philippians 2:9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of who? Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should do what? Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ha, highly exalted. To lift up It suggests an exaltation to the highest position, an elevation that's above all other elevations. The context contrasts humiliation and resulting honor, or humiliation and resulting honors. Jesus' obedience to death is followed by a super exalted position of honor and glory. That's a footnote. It's not in Scripture. It's a footnote of that. So by his death, he has that super exalted position. Well, where is that? The right hand of God the Father. Now, we've heard understandings of things like in the hierarchy of things, you got the person of power sits here, and the person that has the next highest power to that person is going to sit on that person's right-hand side. And a lot of things can be deferred to this person here. You don't even need to go to this person because I put this person in the highest authority below me. And pretty well what they say goes because they know what I want. In Romans 1:4, let's run through this. We want to look at three or four things here real quick, and I'll just read the scripture verses here and see where we touch upon. Romans 1:4, it starts with, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he had promised before and through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. By the resurrection from the dead. Resurrection just means that you're standing back up. You've come up. You're not dead. You're alive. We find in verse 3 through 5 this, that Paul is summarizing the good news about that of Jesus. Number one, that he came as what? A human, natural descent. That secondly, he was of a Jewish royal line through that of David. Thirdly, that he had died, but he was raised from the dead. And then on the fourth there, that he opened the door for God's grace and kindness to be poured out upon us. If it hadn't been for Jesus, where would you be today? Where would we all be today? But he opened the door for God's grace and his kindness to be poured out upon us. It looks like we're going to hear in Romans, just keep moving over to chapter 4. 4:25. In 4:25 in Romans, it says this. I'm going to start in 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Verse 25, who was delivered up because of our, whose offense? Yours and mine. And he was raised because of what? Our justification. Thank you, Lord. So understand that we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. An exchange is taking place. We give him our sins and he forgives us and makes us what? Right with God. There is nothing, everybody say nothing, that you can do that will reconcile you back to God. It is only by the way of accepting Jesus into our heart. And it is only through that of Christ that we can be made right in that of the eyes of God. He came, he died for us to give us a way back to that of God the Father. In Romans 10:9, in verse 8, it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. And that is the word of faith which that we have preached. That it says this in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God, what? Raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For as with one heart believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We find that we make it so hard to be receiving of that of Christ in your life. Salvation is as close to our lips as that of the heart. Last week we were talking in our pastor's time, and one of them was talking about, I guess they're looking at some of their bylaw situations and memberships into the church and things, and just kind of looking at it and probably trying to whittle it down. Because I said, well, whatever you do, make sure you don't have a whole lot of pages. Because the more pages, the more paragraphs that you have for what you want to say as a church and what we want you to do and believe to become a member, it's just a lot of things to monitor. So before this other guy, pastor, got there, I just sat down, and this gentleman shared, and the others were already talking, and he looked over and he says, "Tim, do you guys have anything like for membership, or how do you, you know, receive them into membership in the body?" I just looked at him and said, "I brand them." He started laughing. "Oh, you brand them? Yep, we just, there, you're one of ours now." You know? I said, we really don't have a membership here. We had talked to one, and he said, "Boy, way back, we used to have this that came out from the council, you know, the major thing. And when you go through that to become a member of the church or the thing, it's like there was no dancing, no wild music, no movies, no drinking or smoking or cussing." It's kind of normal, okay? He said it was so bad. He says where they were at, I think in their main area for the district or whatever, this goes back some time, but Billy Graham had a movie coming out, a Billy Graham movie. He says, "Would you believe our organization said, you can't go to it. You can't go see that movie because it's going to be in a movie house." It's Billy Graham. It's Billy Graham. Salvation. Come to the altar. Can you see how we, man, mucks it up on how easy it is to get to that of the glory of God? And if we put so many things out there so that we think you're, well, who are we? Now I think you've attained the right to come into our church, to come in and sit and even come to the altar now because you've passed our litany of what we think it's all about. Hallelujah. I'm under the thing, let them come in and let God clean them up, you know? And as the Spirit of God touches us and speaks into us and anoints us, that things in our life, the things of this world should grow strangely dim. Things that are attached to us should be, we should start be shaking them off, you know? This part of the world, and this part of the world, it should no longer have a tie or an attachment to us. Why is that? It's because of my relationship with that of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, being led by the Holy Spirit to where He says the Spirit will lead you into all truth and speak the truths and the things of God to you. In my times with God and understanding more of Him, it came through that of just with that of the Holy Spirit and my hunger not for what man says that I've got to do to get close to God, but my hunger as to what does the Holy Spirit help me with understanding of how I need to clean up this or look at that differently to be closer to Him. So many people make it out to be so hard, or that you need to take several steps to have that forgiveness from Christ. The enemy loves that. The enemy loves religious people. The enemy, the devil, let's just get right down to it. The devil loves religion because religion will keep so many people out of heaven. Because we make ourselves out to where I am not worthy. My church says I'm not worthy, but look at their bylaws and what they're saying I am or I'm not. Hello, there's an empty tomb over here. I think the empty tomb and the risen Lord, He's got more to say about it than that. Salvation is as close as the lips and as close as our hearts. Now we also find in 1 Peter, we're going to jump to 1 Peter. What's some of the things you hear out there when you talk to people? Some of this is just, what we're doing is just kind of bringing up things that we've talked about throughout the year. You know, this is the thing, folks. We come into Easter, we come into Christmas, we come into these three or four special times. We were also talking, getting back to that thought process of becoming a membership of the church and all that, is, you know, one of them says, well, you know, they attend regularly, they give, and they support with their time or their talents and this or that. So I asked this one pastor, I said, so, and this other pastor brought it up before I did, but then I said something after that, because he says, well, what are they saying now that through some studies that the American people think that they're a regular attendee if they attend church, I don't know, like 14 or 15 times in the year, once a month. So when that happened, he goes, somebody says, well, yeah, that's like once a month. And I said, yeah, and we've given them two floater days. At least they attend once a month. That's 12 times. And the average is like maybe 14. So we got two floaters in there that they might be able to attend twice in 1 month on certain occasions. Christmas and Easter, and Christmas and Easter again. A funeral or a death? I don't know. You know? Oh, great. I went there for a funeral. Hey, that means I don't have to go there now for Sunday. I've already been to church. So I said, well, then you're going to have to rework your bylaws of saying, what is a regular attendee? Because back when those things were done, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, special services. So that means what? In a month's time? My goodness. You should be at church about 25 times or more. Yeah, 18, 17. And so, you know, here again, we get into that whole thought process. We want to make these things of our ways of making it like we're religious people and we're going to make people toe the line and they can become a member, but you better do what we say. You want to become a member, just do what this thing says. Follow this. Find a church that follows this. So this one pastor says, yeah, we used to have that whole thing. He said, you know what we've gotten down to now? Just one card that basically says, as far as your beliefs and standards with that of God, is God is your Lord and Savior, or you know, things like that. Just one card and that's it. So anyway, but let the Bible be your, because you're not joining the church. You're joining the kingdom. And the kingdom has churches all over the place. So I'd rather have you join the kingdom, because we're the part of the family of God. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. So no matter where you go to a service or a church, if you're vacationing or even if you're just kind of bouncing around, if you find the right churches and God's kind of doing this for you, that he puts you in the churches that are sharing and speaking just what this old Bible says. Not what I want you to think it says or make up things about that. Now, secondly, though, we never did get to 1 Peter, did we? I want to share real quick on 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living, what? Hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Resurrection of the dead. A living hope. This living Christ makes possible a living hope. So we have that hope that is always with us, that we don't need to walk in the fears and the tremblings and all I hear and read and all the stuff again of what we've gone through in the last year and the things that are going to come up this year and the year after that and the year after that, you know. But I have that hope. We read here in Peter's words that gives us hope. In verse 3, we come away with a wonderful expectation of eternal life. From this, our hope is not just for the future. Eternal life begins when we trust Christ and join God's family. No matter what pain or trial that we may experience here in this life, we know that it is not our final experience, because eventually we will live with Christ forever. Hallelujah. And then one last area. Look back in Romans 6. So what we're going to find out of this is when you know that you don't have to fear death, you will experience a different outlook on this life with the help from that of the Holy Spirit. We will become all that Christ wants us to become. So if I look at Romans 6, in 9, it says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ our Lord. And then it goes on to say, though, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being, what? Alive from the dead, and your members as instruments or weapons of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under that of grace. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. I was going to share through some of these other things, but quickly, we've got this, that you're complete in Christ. You can be confident that God will complete the good work that he has started in you, that you've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. that being born of God, the evil one cannot touch you. And there's some scripture verses that go into all that. I guess I should have been sharing that with you. But I am God's workmanship, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 John 5:18 really speaks about, I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. So I was going to touch upon those, but I haven't, and I had those off to the side. But I think if we understand, I think the thing that we've got to get into that understanding is what the empty tomb, the most important thing it was for us to be reconciled back to that of God. I am blessed here. I am blessed. I've got a car. I am blessed. I've got a home. I am blessed. I've got food in the cupboards. I am blessed. You know, got a blessed, wonderful family. We had a wonderful time yesterday of Easter with our family and had all of us there, all of our four kids and their spouses and our 11 grandkids, and it was a wonderful time. I'm blessed. Aren't you blessed? I hope so. If not, look for it. If you're a child of God, you've got blessings. Don't be fearful. Don't walk in anxiety. Have a calm mind, calm thoughts, you know. Ask God to give you wisdom and direction on things that you need to do. He'll give those things to you. But look around and see what this has brought forth of that of the risen Savior. Heavenly Father, I thank you today, as I do every day, for a beautiful day, for a day that you have created, that you have prepared, and that you're allowing us, allowing me, to enter it. And now, Lord, I don't know all the thoughts and the plans that I would have for this day, as any of us here today, we don't know what the next 2 or 3 hours or the next minute holds for us. But we know that as we serve you and bring honor and glory to you, Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to be that light and that example, as our Lord said. We do what we are told to do, or what we see the Father do. It's just what Jesus said. So I thank you for the leading of that of the Holy Spirit in us, and the leading of that of the guidance of our thoughts, Lord, that we can set our mind upon you. Father, let us always remember, not just on the day, but every day, of the empty tomb and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And I do pray, Lord, you touch these wonderful people in a most special way. Minister into their needs. Become, I pray, Lord, stronger in their situation, that they truly do see your hand and the power that is there. We love you. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.